everyone. Welcome to Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions. Today, we're going to be talking about standing up for God. Before I get started, I just want to tell you guys, I'm really sorry that I'm so far behind, that I have not published anything in several weeks. I've been dealing with some stuff, and so I'm really far behind, but I'm going to continue to go back and get all of the blog posts and all of these devotions done for y'all. So stick with me and just make sure you subscribe so it'll let you know whenever I do another episode. And if you want the blog post, then just subscribe, become a free subscriber on Substack, and then you can listen to them there. So anyways, I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm sorry. I know I just started this and then now I'm so far behind, but it's just been all I could do to get the lessons out. And I haven't been able to get to these, but I'm going back. So as I read in 1 Samuel 2, and we were talking about the priests and how they were just completely misrepresenting God, and their dad, who was also the high priest, would not confront them about it, wouldn't deal with it. And even the people were saying, hey, this is against God. This isn't the right way to do things. The priests continued to do it. And it got me to thinking about how we really should be standing up for God and His Word. But then what does that practically look like, right? What does it look like whenever you are in a Sunday school class and you hear somebody say something that just doesn't sound quite right? You know, you're thinking to yourself, I don't think that's biblical. And you might think, okay, I'm going to say something about this. And then you think, no, I don't really know what to say and how to go about this. And then the longer you sit there and nobody else says anything, you think, well, I really shouldn't say anything now because I'm going to draw attention to myself. And this isn't probably the right way to handle it. And so you don't, right? And these are things that come up. Another thing that comes up is with your leaders. You know, these were their leaders, and people were going to the high priest saying, your sons are not going, they're going against God. And he wasn't doing anything about it. And so what do we do whenever our leaders are the ones that we believe are misrepresenting God? You know, we think that the church is going in the wrong direction, that the focus is completely void of the Bible, or it is misleading. It's not, you know, it's contrary to the Bible. What do we do in those circumstances? And I got to thinking, you know, even leaders in the church do have a difficult time, just like Eli did. They have a difficult time addressing the teachers and other elders and people in the staff at the church. They have a difficulty sometimes addressing those problems because they feel the same as we do. Like, I don't want to cause a problem. I don't want to make a big deal out of this. You know, what do I do? And so no wonder we have a difficulty just being people in the church knowing how to handle these situations. And so as I was thinking about this, I just thought, you know, should we speak up? And if we do, when do we do it? And how do we do it? And so that's what this lesson is going to be about. The first situation I want to talk about is if you are a leader of in some way in the church, if you're a teacher, a preacher, an elder, or a deacon, then you are held to a higher standard. That is what the Bible tells us. In James 3:1, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that you who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so because you have influence over other people, then you're judged with a more seriousness than they are. You're supposed to know better. And so God expects more of you. And so if you are a leader, you first need to be responsible for yourself. You need to be constantly examining yourself and saying, are the things that I'm saying and doing lining up with the Word of God? That's the first thing. Now, honestly, all of us need to do that, right? Not just leaders, but everyone needs to be making sure that the things they're doing are lining up with God's Word. And so we're all responsible for ourselves first and foremost. But Paul also specifically instructed the elders, which a preacher is an elder of the church, and then the elders of the church. This is Paul's instruction to them. This is 1 Peter 5:2-4. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain," which is what Eli's sons were doing, "but do it eagerly, not as lords over those who've been entrusted to you, but being examples to them." So you're not supposed to lord your power over them. Nothing is supposed to be done for your glory and your power. It's all supposed to be done as an example. Act like you want them to act. That is your job. "And when the chief shepherd appears, then you will receive the crown of glory that won't fade away," the chief shepherd being Jesus. And so if you are a leader of the church, you're responsible for yourself, but you're also responsible for all those that you oversee. That is your job. And so if you're in a place of authority in the church, then you are an overseer in the church. And you don't want anybody in a position of leadership to be leading people astray, right? You want to make sure you're not leading people astray, but you also want to make sure that your teachers and those that have influence over your congregation, that they are also staying true to God's word and that they're not doing anything openly and outwardly that would lead people astray. And so in Titus 1:9-16, it says, "He, an overseer, must hold firm to the trustworthy word of God as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party," which is the way of saying those that were born Jewish. Some of the ones that were born Jewish didn't have the Christian thoughts in their minds, and so they were teaching wrongly. And it says, "Those people must be silenced, since they're upsetting whole families by their teaching for shameful gain by teaching things that they ought not teach. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and to the commands of the people who turn away from the truth. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work." Now, I almost didn't even want to say that they're detestable and disobedient part because it sounds so harsh, but he's talking specifically about a certain people there. But I did want you to see that it says they're unfit for any good work. They're unfit for the position that they are holding within the church if they are leading whole families astray, if they are doing this for dishonest gain, if they are, you know, professing to know God, but acting completely contrary to how a person that knows God would act. And so if you are an overseer of the church, then you must address people that are doing these things because it is leading people in your congregation astray. But before you address something that you haven't heard or seen firsthand, you first have to make sure it's true. And so you can't just take the word of one person that comes and tells you something and then go and accuse a fellow elder of doing something wrong. You have to first make sure that they definitely are teaching something totally contrary to God's word or acting in a way that is just blatantly contrary to God's word and leading people astray. And then you also need to go about it in the right way if you are going to address it. And so first you should address it with them privately and give them a chance to repent and, you know, correct themselves. And if they are truly a godly person, then they will also not want to be leading people astray, and they'll take into account what you say and they'll, you know, pay attention and see if they need to correct anything. And if they do, then they'll correct it. But if instead they just continue to blatantly go against God's word, then they're in open rebellion against God. And that's when you have to move to the next step of rebuke. And so it's no longer a private matter in this point, because they have, you know, publicly misrepresented God. And so you have to publicly tell everyone that is a misrepresentation. That's not true to God, because you don't want those people to believe that person that's teaching or preaching that thing, that you don't want them to believe that that's okay. And so you have to say publicly, that's not right. That's not something that God would endorse. And you also have to do this because you want to deter other people from doing these things. You want everyone to take their job seriously. And we see that when God warns Samuel and tells Samuel what he's going to do to Eli's sons. I think that's a warning to Samuel to say, hey, you know, you need to take your job seriously, because if you don't, you're going to end up like these people. And so that's what we have to do. And so in 1 Timothy 5:17 to 20, it says, let elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So if you're working hard to make sure that you are theologically sound and that you know what you're talking about, then you should receive double honor. And then if you hear something, it says, don't receive an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses. So you have to make sure that your accusation is true first. But then those who are sinning must be rebuked in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear and not do that. And so that is what happens if you are a leader in the church, okay? But what about the rest of us? When we see or hear something that doesn't line up with the word of God, even if it's from a church leader, then how do we handle that? It probably depends on how big of a deal it is, right? Like, we're not going to go up to the teacher or preacher every single Sunday and say, oh, that one little thing you said, I don't really agree with that. Or, you know, hey, you know, you're really not supposed to do that. God says don't do that. You know, that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about when you think that your church is heading in the complete wrong direction, getting far away from God, getting way too worldly, not adhering to the scriptures, that God's word is not being upheld in your church, or something is being taught that is completely contrary to God's word, that is what we're talking about. And so in those kinds of situations, we first need to pray about it, and we need to seek the scriptures ourselves and make sure that what we're thinking is actually correct. You know, that we're not off base, that we're not making a big deal out of something that's not, that this is a big deal and that God also disagrees with it. So that's our first thing. And then the second thing is, we again go to them privately and we talk with them about it. And we're not impugning bad motives. We're not saying, you know, you're a false teacher, you're a horrible person, what are you thinking, you're leading everybody astray. But you can just go to them and say, hey, you know, this is my concern. I'm worried about this. This feels like we're going in the wrong direction. Or there doesn't seem to be a lot of scripture that's backing up the things that you're saying. And so they sound more like opinion. And I'm not really sure if these things are all what God would say, and I would like some more scripture. Or, you know, I really feel like a lot of these things you're saying seem completely contrary to scripture. And these are the scriptures that I've looked up that I think, you know, support what I'm saying and might be, you know, expressing that the things you're saying are not exactly what God would want. And so these are my concerns. And if they are godly men, then they will care about this. They will examine themselves and they'll say, you know, maybe that is the case. Maybe I need more scriptural backing, or maybe I'm off track. You know, maybe I'm leading the church in the wrong direction. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I've let the world creep into my thoughts and I'm not, you know, as biblically sound as I need to be. And hopefully that'll happen. But if it doesn't change, then your next step would be to go to someone else in the church that you trust. And so we have to be really careful about this, because you don't want to be planting something in their minds that they never thought of and creating a problem that doesn't exist. We also don't want to talk to multiple people because that would be more like gossip than standing up for God's word. But it's good to go to other people because they might be thinking the exact same thing you're thinking, and yet they just don't know how to go about it either. And if y'all both talk about it and like, yeah, that's been bothering me too, then you can both go to the pastor or the teacher together with a little more consensus, and maybe they will listen to you both. And also you could go to that person and they could say, well, I don't really see it the way you do, and you might feel differently, right? And so that would be our next step. And you know, in Matthew 18, 15 to 17, it talks about when a person does something wrong towards you, how you should go through these same steps. And that's kind of what I'm doing here, is go to them privately first, then go to them with another person. And then the next thing is to go to the elders of the church. And so if you and this other person have gone to that person and nothing is changing, then you need to go to the elders and you need to say, this is a problem. They're teaching contrary to God's scripture, and I want you to exercise your authority over them. This happened with Eli. The people were going to Eli saying, your sons are doing very wrong things. And, you know, we don't even do these things. We know that they're wrong. And we don't think they're representing God well in their sacrifices either. And Eli didn't do anything about it. And so you need to go to the elders. And then if the elders are weak, like Eli was, not wanting to hurt the feelings and allowing these things to continue, then the next step would probably be that you need to just leave that church. You need to go to a place where God's word is being upheld. Okay. So that's all the first part of it. Now for the more common scenario. The more common scenario would be that you're just in a Sunday school class and it's not the teacher that's talking about it. It's just someone within discussion. And someone within discussion says something and you're like, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound biblical to me. What should you do about that? Should we speak up if we just hear somebody within the discussion in a Sunday school or Bible study that says something that we don't think is right? Some people would tell you no. Some people would say it's not that big of a deal. I actually think that it is a big deal. I think that if you keep silent, then there may be somebody else in that Sunday school class that's feeling just like you feel, and they're thinking, I think that's right. But when nobody else says anything, and they're looking around the room, and they say, well, nobody's saying anything, even people that are more learned than I am, they're not saying anything. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's actually okay. Maybe I don't know. And so you're kind of allowing them to be led astray because you're not speaking up. And so everybody in there is either thinking that this is okay, or they're thinking you are thinking it's okay. And people begin to wonder what is right and what is wrong. And so I think that we do need to say something, but then it's just how, right? How do we go about this? We don't want to embarrass anyone. We don't want to, you know, be harsh. We don't want to look like we're self-righteous and we know all these things. And so we do have to use discretion. If it's not that big of a deal, maybe we don't need to say anything, right? But if it looks as if it's something that's really going to make someone else maybe do something that is against God or believe something that is against God, then I think we need to say something. And so sometimes we don't say anything because we know that, you know, everybody is at different levels of their learning in these classes. And so it might just be that they don't know what God's word says, especially on that subject. Even if they're like, you know, very versed in the Bible, they still may not know what God says on that specific subject. And so they may just not be aware, and you don't want to embarrass them and make them feel like, you know, you think that you're smarter than them or something. So you've got to be careful in that way. You also sometimes don't want, you know, people are sometimes saying things because they don't really want to know what God thinks about it, because they feel deeply about it, because they've been hurt in some way, or they're, you know, sad, or, you know, they've dealt with this situation and maybe they dealt with it in the wrong way, or maybe they, you know, they're just justifying their own sin. And you can sympathize with that because you've probably been in that situation, even if not with that specific sin before, and even if you don't want to admit it, even if you don't want to admit, well, I don't really want to know what God has to say about that because I want to do this the way I want to do it. You've probably felt like that before. But honestly, that's the best way to approach it. It's just to say, hey, I've struggled with that too. I used to kind of feel like that, but now I think that God doesn't agree with that. And here's why. Or I haven't struggled with that, but I've felt like you in another way. You know, there's been another thing that I've struggled with, and I've felt like that before too. But this is what, you know, God taught me through his word and, you know, different circumstances that I've had. That is a great way to approach it, to where you're not, you know, sounding like you're smarter or better than anyone. You're saying, I felt like this too, but now I've realized that I was wrong. And this is what, you know, I think God really wants from me. And so that's a great way for us to address these situations. And so we don't have to be mean, right? We don't have to be like, oh my gosh, that's not true. I can't believe you believe that or anything like that. You know, we can always be gentle with people, especially when they don't know and especially when they're struggling. We can be gentle with them because God is gentle with us, right? God is gentle with us whenever we sin and we do wrong things. God is kind to us. And you know that if you don't do that wrong thing, you do something else wrong. And so you can't judge another person harshly. You know, God says that with the strictness that we judge, we will be judged and with the same measure. And so we don't want to do that to other people and then it come back on us, right? We don't like people to treat us that way and we don't want to treat them that way. And so we have to be gentle and kind, but that doesn't mean we don't tell the truth. You know, the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. And it's loving to tell people what God says. That is important for us to do. And so Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So remember, you've done wrong things too. You don't want to, you know, be too harsh on them, but you need to make sure that you tell people the truth. We have to stand up for God and his word because we don't want him or his word to be misrepresented. We don't want to be leading people to do something that's wrong because they heard in a Sunday school class this person say that this is okay. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, then that's fine thing to do, right? We don't want to do that. And so we have to stand up for God's word. Christians must represent God well. And that's what draws other people to him. But when we misrepresent him, it makes people pull away from God because they are doing things that are wrong and we don't want to be a part of that. And so I hope this just gives you a couple of ideas as to maybe how to address certain things, if you should address them, and just how you can do it in a kind way, never in a mean way, but just in a way of like, no, here's what I was kind of thinking. You know, I think that maybe, you know, because this scripture says this, I think that God probably feels like this about that, you know, whatever it is. So we can always do it in a kind and gentle way, but I do think we need to speak up for God and his word and make sure that it's being upheld in our churches, whether we are, you know, just part of a congregation or whether we are in a position of authority. We need to make sure that God's word is being upheld within our churches and that he's not being misrepresented. So that's what I learned from this lesson, and I hope that it's helped you too. That's all I have this time, and I'll just see you back next week. Thanks, and have a good day. Thank you.